Griffin here.
None of these scenarios are based on any real-life events. Everything is made up entirely on the spot. Take it away, song!
Hi.
I'm Griffin.
I'm Steve, and I'm the dog.
And this is Killed to Death,
the improvised true crime podcast.
And we want to see y'all out on the dance floor.
Ooh, we could do like a call and response song as part of the pod.
Yeah. I want to hear all the fellas say, this is Killed to Death.
All the ladies say, Killed to Death.
No, I just told the dudes to say death. Oh, you're just having them say the same thing.
They have to. It's a common. They go both gotta say.
Equality. Don't assign different genders different words.
No, they both say the same. Everybody says the same thing, and it's the
name of the show. You know how you should divide it is age. I want to hear everybody over 50 say the improvised true crime podcast.
Everybody under 60 say the dog. And that's everyone.
The dog.
Yeah. Oh, so 50 to 60 year olds really have to double up on their roles.
Yeah, they've had it too easy for too long.
But this is Killed to Death, the improvised true crime podcast. Steve, we have something exciting coming up. We've booked new headshots.
Yeah, we both did.
We both booked new headshots
together.
We were just speaking of video games, not those kind. These are for acting. These are, are photos you send to your agents to get, I don't know, booked for roles.
You don't know?
I don't know. You I don't know why know. I'm doing this.
What do your current ones look like, just to set the stage?
Oh, for the listener?
Nice. Okay, so what do you want to do differently?
I don't know if you heard the ting of the sunlight off my smile, but...
Yeah, there's a little twinkle and a sparkle, even.
Yeah, so Steve, we thought we would maybe give people tips. What goes into a good headshot? How should you prepare? What makes the day a success and leaving with photos that'll book you your dream role?
For me, props.
Props.
Bring them with you.
Like giving the photographer props?
Thank them when it's done. You know, this is their job. They dedicated their whole life to it. They're good at it. If you get the right photographer... You might have a long-standing relationship. They might do your photos every month or two for...
Which would be great.
Your entire career. So give them props. You know, let them know that you appreciate what they do. And then book in your next appointment. It's kind of like the dentist. Like when you're done with yours, you should have your next one booked ahead. Just in case you get a
new
haircut.
Yeah, or like an oil change where they stick on your headshots. The date of the next
when you need your next
time it's due.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if things come up and things change, most of them are pretty flexible. If you like one day you wake up and you're like, everything looks a bit different. Maybe you lost a big front tooth or something. You then need to inform them.
That's tough. As an adult, that's tough.
Well, maybe you're a hockey player and an actor. Maybe you're trying to get cast on Letterkenny.
The Leafs?
Yes.
You're showing up to practice and giving them your headshot and delivering a monologue from Goon.
I think that would work. Yeah, I think you should also have that ready to go at all times. Your favorite monologue. That's a side tip.
What is your favorite monologue?
The milkshake one from There Will Be Blood, where he talks about how much he wants to drink milkshakes.
I love milkshakes.
I'm so thirsty. Boy, bring me my own milkshake.
Or even water.
I don't care what it is. I'm so thirsty in this damn desert. Boy. And that's when he's dying, too. He's dying in the restaurant. I think he's kind of exaggerating because the waiter took a while to bring him
their
stuff.
Yeah, he's really playing it up. He's being a bit sarcastic.
So he's
kind
of milking it. He's like, please, I'm so parched. It's like, come on, buddy. There's a lot of tables. They'll get
that's your favorite monologue.
Well, the way he does it, pretty good.
My tip is put in your own watermark of like somebody more famous.
And that's not a like, stain, right?
Oh, yeah. You can dunk it in whatever you want if you want.
Oh, nice.
But in terms of photographers, like if you say your photo was taken by Florence Pugh, then people are going to think like, whoa, like if she's his photographer, imagine what a big deal he must be.
Yeah. So what it says, like property of Florence Pugh across it and like transparent lettering.
Yeah.
Nice. Smart.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to give a different tip. Why not just give them a picture of Florence Pugh? She's very successful. Use her headshots.
That's true.
I just need to get in the room, and then once they hear my milkshake monologue, I'm set.
Your milkshake monologue brings all the voice of the yard. And the boys are casting directors. And the yard is where you act.
Yeah, you always want your casting directors to follow you to where you're acting. They should kind of stick with you through the whole process just to see how they did.
And that leads to my tip, my final tip. Let them come to you. There's a lot of Zoom stuff that's happening.
Like the movie Zoom? They're making another one?
They're doing a new Zoom, and I want to get cast in it. So what I think is, I don't know where that takes place, but I'm going to set up shop at a, I think it's a, maybe there's a school. No, I'm thinking of Sky High. What the hell's Zoom?
Oh, I was thinking of Sky High. Whoa, it's Tim Allen and he runs a superhero academy, right?
Does he in Zoom too?
Is that Sky High?
Oh, I don't think he's in Sky High, but I think he's in Zoom. The point is, this isn't Griffin and Steve guessing the movie. This is us talking about going to a school and taking your headshots there. If you want to be cast as the principal of a school or a superhero school, be there and be the principal
Absolutely.
Of the school.
Absolutely. Dress for the role you want.
Yes, and actually, it would be helpful if you actually were a principal of a school.
Get the job that you're
that you want to pretend to have. Get for you, the job you want.
So you've been working as a 1900s oil baron for a while.
It does not pay well. I was like, oil money. This is awesome. Yeah, but not when it's 1800s money.
My final tip, don't ignore the back. Everyone gets headshots of the front. Get the back of the head, too. Sometimes you have to turn around in a movie.
They're called back shots. I think that's pretty good. Headshot, back shot. That's funny.
I think back shots...
No, I know what it is. I'm just saying,
okay.
That's why it's funny to miscall it that.
So, yeah, get as many back shots as possible.
Thank you. Now that's a yes and.
Do you feel sufficiently supported?
I feel supported. Don't leave me hanging out there with my back shots, Riff.
Yeah, if you notice your friend's got a back shot, let them know. That's embarrassing. Don't leave them hanging. Hey, dude, you've got, got a back shot on you. All right, Steve, now that you're supported, would you like to solve a murder?
Yes, I feel secure.
The victim, Ringo, found dead during an Everest expedition. Today's guest, Paul, who found Ringo's body. Paul, hello.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing today?
We're well. Thank you for joining us.
Just band practice.
You're in a band.
Nice.
Yeah, just a little something with some guys.
What kind of music do you guys play?
I don't want to get into it.
You brought it up. You
yeah.
brought it up very unprompted.
Yeah, just like classic rock.
Oh, cool.
Right on.
But you're you climb mountains.
Yeah, I like to climb some of the higher mountains out there. I make it like a bit of a challenge on myself and that sort of thing.
Right, because if it's like a small hill, it's there's not much point.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with hills.
You started there though, worked your way up.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you have to climb every mountain.
I used to do hills. Years ago, like we're talking like 70, 80 years ago.
Can I ask how old you are?
I am in my 90s.
Wow, and you're still out there climbing.
Still climbing.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to, I think it's important to stay active, like, as you get into your 90s and your 100s. That way you can, you know, remain, like, as nimble as you were in your 20s.
Use it or lose it, they say.
Use it or lose it, and, yeah.
Well, know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Yeah, certainly, especially when it comes to your joints.
Yeah, when to like keep them rigid and when to bring them in.
Exactly. Like when you're walking, you know, you need to know when to extend your leg using your knee and when to fold it back in for the landing, I guess. Anyways,
so you're pretty methodical with your movements. I mean, obviously you're very in touch with your body. Would you say there's any tips you have for people who want to stay as limber as you?
Yoga.
Mm.
All day, every day, yoga.
All day?
All day,
sounds
yoga.
Sounds busy.
Is that mainly what you do to prepare for an excursion?
Yes, I'll probably be doing yoga.
I guess I imagine something more, a little more intense workout-wise, but it's truly just yoga right up until you leave base camp.
Well, a lot of people don't know, but there's like some pretty intense yoga moves.
Hmm. Like, is there any that mimic like thinner air, like low oxygen?
Yes, most of them.
Okay, well, that is helpful then.
Just put a hand in front of your mouth?
Yeah. There's the carbon monoxide upwards backstand.
Okay, and what's that? It might be a little hard to describe, but if you could try your best.
Yeah, let me get into that for you. It's kind of like you're doing a headstand, but like you're using your back as your head.
So you're just laying flat on your back.
Yes, and then you are letting carbon monoxide seep into the room where you're doing that.
Okay, so you just slowly fall asleep, potentially forever.
Yeah, but that's why it's an expert kind of, like, I would not recommend that to listeners.
There's a mountain pose, too. Maybe that's applicable.
Yeah, there's a mountain pose, and I do that a lot.
How do you decide where and when you are going to climb?
Basically, I'll probably like take out a map and then like throw a pin at a map. Luckily, it landed on one of my favorite mountains recently.
Mount Everest you're talking about?
Mount Everest, yes.
What if it lands somewhere? There's some pretty flat places in the earth. What if it lands somewhere and it's no challenge at all? Are you still going to go? Or do you re-throw the pin?
Until you get Everest.
You kind of just got to go. That's like...
Oh, you do have to go. Okay.
Even if it's... Because everything's a mountain. Like, even if it's like purely flat, that's still technically a mountain.
By what definition?
The fact that it's... You can walk up it. You're just kind of... The base is the summit.
Mm.
On something like that, on like flat.
It's just a journey that ends as soon as it begins. But
exactly.
It's still
exactly. Mm.
Right. So
you just
like,
go there, land, leave that place.
Yeah, it's sort of like
conquered.
New Year's Day.
It is sort of like New Year's.
It's the end of the year, but also the start of the year.
Now, why is Everest one of your favorites? I know for me, who is not that familiar with mountain climbing, it does seem to be like the guy.
Oh, the base camp is like awesome. There's like...
What do they got?
Good snacks there?
There's like a few like food trucks and places to use a bathroom and stuff like that. So I'll often head
there.
Whoa! That's awesome.
Mount Everest base camp is a hot spot.
Based,
yes. And I play the bass.
Yeah,
right, in your classic rock band.
Classic
yes.
Rock.
Yeah. Hofner.
That you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I play a little Hofner bass in that in a group. But let's not get into that.
Well, okay. Where are you guys? In that case, how'd you know Ringo?
Oh, how did I know Ringo? We go way, way back. I met him once, like, a long time ago at some restaurant or something. I don't know. And so we just started hanging out, and he actually plays music himself. And I was like, dude, you want to, like, start a band or something?
It's so long ago. I don't want
to. Yeah, it's a long time ago. We don't have to get into it.
Sure, but he climbs mountains as well.
Yeah, he climbs mountains as well. I think I was climbing the mountain with him that recently. Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, let's talk about this specific Everest trip.
Mm-hmm.
What number was this for you?
This was the first time I've climbed it.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you'd never been to the cool base camp before?
No, I've been to the base camp, but I've never climbed it before.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So what were the other trips like? You just go to the base camp? Are you scouting it out?
Poo and go home.
Yeah, I would go to the base camp.
Get a taco or something.
Hang out, kind of pretend as though I had just climbed the mountain, you know, or was
just out of breath?
Yeah. I would kind of be in the base camp like,
that thing's huge.
Easier coming down than going up, right, boys?
You know when you're like doing push-ups and then you want to impress somebody, so you're like, 1,000. So I would be at the base camp, like, whew, and 1,000. So they thought like I just climbed it like 1,000 times. But I wasn't really even that interested in climbing it. I mean, the thing like takes days to summit.
Right. So why did you decide on this recent trip to climb?
Just pure boredom. Like the base camp wasn't really that fun that time. I was kind of getting bored. And I was like, whatever.
You did go initially just to hang at the base camp again and do your little 1,000 trick. And then this time around, you're a bit bored and thought you'd climb it for real.
Yeah, I like to socialize. I just went there to like meet people, wine and cheese kind of thing. Sometimes I'll go around with wine and cheese.
Bring your own?
Yeah.
You brought the wine and cheese.
I bring my own wine and cheese and I'll like go around like, you know, like hold up a platter of it and kind of offer it to people at the base camp and be like, wine and cheese.
Or are you cheese. Doing this at the same time that you're like, and 1,000? Wine and cheese?
Well, I'll do a bunch of stuff there. You know what I mean? It's like, and there's always different people coming in and out, so you can like play different
tricks.
Yeah, you can play different tricks on different people.
I suppose the wine and cheese isn't a trick. That's just you're just offering them wine and cheese.
Right. That's not really a trick as much as it is an offering.
Sure. But how does Ringo fit into this picture? Is he also just going there to chill, chat and cheese, or was he set on climbing it?
I think Ringo was there. He was like shooting a movie or something.
Oh, cool. At base camp?
Yeah, he was shooting a movie at base camp, and then they were like, okay, let's go for lunch. I like, cut, let's go for lunch. And I was like, oh, shit, like Ringo's there. And, you know, I talked about the old days a bit, and then, you know, we had an hour to kill, so we're like, let's just climb this thing.
So was it just the two of you who decided to climb up together? Did anyone else come with?
Yeah, it was just the two of us. And and my friend John. It was three of us.
The listeners missed the biggest smile creep across your face as you thought of that.
There were three of us. It was John, Paul, which is me, Ringo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one of our friends was at base camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he's, you know, he's the quiet one, we call him. So I'll do him the, I don't want to say his name or whatever. We refer to him as the quiet one.
He's too quiet to say his name.
Yeah, so I'll leave him out of this.
Yeah, okay, so you, John, and Ringo headed up the mountain.
Yeah.
At what point during your journey did Ringo die?
Almost immediately. Ringo died almost immediately when we started climbing the mountain.
Like before the like first checkpoint kind of thing?
Before the first checkpoint, that's for sure. I mean, the checkpoints, they're not as, they don't come as fast as you'd like them to, that's for sure.
Yeah. Right. So you're still you're still basically like in base camp, just on the edge of it at this point.
Yeah, we're just, yeah, we're at base camp pretty much. Maybe like a minute or two off of base camp.
But you could still see everyone and almost like hear each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you could still hear kind of that epic like base camp kind of buzz, hustle and bustle.
Yeah, you could still see all the William F. White's trucks.
Exactly. You could see all the food trucks, beaver tails, taco trucks, whatever, you know what I mean? Because you're hungry. I mean, you're out there, you're in Mount Everest, you're hungry.
You climbed 1,000 times, or I've heard that anyway.
Some people have climbed it 1,000 times, that's for sure.
You're hungry.
You know those people that kind of like walk upstairs, and then they come back down, and they just go back up and back down? There's a lot of people that do that with Mount Everest. And they, you know, and they're in the zone, so they want you to like get out of their way.
Right, they're like speed walking up Everest.
Yeah, exactly. And then what happened was, so Ringo just died like almost immediately.
And what did that look like? You saw it happen, or just one sec, like you turn around and he's dead?
I just turned around and he was dead.
Good guess, Steve.
I was like, Ringo? And I go like, Ringo, come on. I thought George was the quiet one.
And then I turned around. You did say his name.
I mean, I thought our other friend was the quiet one. We'll cut that out. And then...
oh, okay.
I was like, Ringo, right? Why didn't she answer? Yeah, you're not the quiet one. You're the cute one or something. I've lost track at this point. I mean, there's so many.
Fun one.
You're the fun one.
It sounds like he's the fun one.
Yeah, drummer. You're the fun one. Who am I again? The cute one?
I think you might be the cute one.
I'm the cute one. And so I turn around and I go, Ringo, not answering. Ringo, you're the fun. You're the fun one. You know. You're not the quiet one. You're the fun one. Turn around.
That's what you were saying to him.
That's what I was saying to him, because I'm sort of the leader of the group. They hate me for it. Bang, bang, Maxwell. You know what I mean? There's a whole, they hate me for it.
Oh, no, what do you mean by that?
So anyways, that's an old kind of fight we had. And then I turn around, bam, I just see Ringo lying there on the ground. And then I go, bang, 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 Maxwell for real. This time.
And John was with you this whole time?
John was with me, yes.
Did he see what happened at all? Or was he turned around looking the other direction?
I'm not sure if he saw what happened. I could call him.
You know what? Yeah, if you just send him a text to like I'll hop on the call him. Soon, that yeah. would be great. Yeah.
He'll hop on the call.
Yeah, I'll text him and we'll see if he can. Oh, he's busy.
Darn. Man.
Well, we might be stuck with the quiet one.
You would have been
sucks.
A good get, but oh well.
Yeah. I mean, he's got
to talk to the taco truck driver or something.
Yeah, he's got a life now. I mean, he lives by Central Park in the Dakota.
Yeah.
The Dakota.
He's always walking out front.
He's walking out front. I mean, I hope. Anyways, I hope that's not another episode you guys have to do at some point.
What a weird thing to say about your friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get. I hope my friends aren't murdered 24/7.
Pardon me.
We should tell our friends that more. Just, yeah. Hey, hope you're not murdered, man.
We
Steve,
should.
I hope you're not murdered.
Hey, I hope both of you are not murdered. I mean,
we really should. I mean, it's important.
Just be shit.
No, did you go up to Ringo's body?
Went up to his body, checked his pulse, obviously. And man, that pulse was on time.
Yeah.
It was like a dang
metronome.
So he metronome.
Was alive.
For a bit. And then okay. It stopped. But yeah.
Right. It was on time till it wasn't.
It was on time until
it... a bunch of rest notes.
Yeah, at one point it did kind of like a fill. It was like on time, and then it did a bit of like a
fill.
Sounds
like a heart arrhythmia.
Yeah, it could have been a heart arrhythmia or some sort of poison-induced heart murmur.
Mm.
Ooh, no, why do you think poison?
A lot of poison being exchanged hands in the Mount Everest base camp.
Why is that? Are there just like very few authorities there?
It's just like a great place to buy and sell poison.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't really... there's nothing that suspicious about it. It's just sort of naturally become a hub of
great place
the poison
to buy
trade.
And sell poison.
Yeah. So...
Well, yeah.
I initially started thinking maybe this guy accidentally ate some poison, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's not a great mix. There's all this great food going around there and all this great poison.
Yeah, the taco truck is parked right next to the poison truck.
Exactly. So in my head I'm thinking, oh geez. Was there a mix-up in the kitchens?
Right. Yes. Instead of
a
taco, we got a poison.
A green flask.
Yes.
A bubbling green flask that he chugged down.
That's what I was thinking, because he loves a Mountain Dew. And that's kind of green.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, Mount Everest, I guess that's all you drink there.
That's all you drink because you need it. It's all you can get there because it naturally comes off the mountain.
Is it from a spring on Everest? Didn't realize that.
It is.
Well, it's any mountain. Oh.
And other mountains have smaller deposits of it, but Mount Everest has the most Mountain Dew of any mountain in the world.
It's only Mountain Dew if it's from the Dew region of Everest.
Yes, which is 600,000 feet above sea level.
What we're going to do is take a quick break, and when we come back, hopefully we can figure out if this was just accidental poisoning or if something a bit more nefarious was at play.
Sounds good.
All right. And we are back on Kill to Death. I'm still here with Steve the Dog Cook. And we are also still here with Paul.
How are we doing today? Nah, I'm just kidding. No, I talk like this.
Oh, yeah. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Londoning. Liverpool, UK.
Yeah, close to London.
Lived in London for some time. And now I call London home. And I fly between London and New York City with my wife, Nancy.
Now, Paul, you are a mountain climber. You will throw a pin at a map, and wherever it lands, you will climb that mountain, whether there is a mountain there or whether it's entirely flat. It doesn't matter to you. You will climb it. Your favorite, however, is Mount Everest because of the base camp. It's awesome. There's good snacks and places to use the bathroom. However, on your most recent trip, you were getting a little bored with it. Luckily, your friend Ringo was there shooting a movie, and they had just called cut for lunch. Your other friend John was there, too. Now, why was John with you?
John was there because we had a meeting with our manager, Alan Klein, I believe. And we were meeting him at the Mount Everest Base Camp to discuss the rights to our music and that sort of thing.
Was there going to be any changes to who owned what?
I believe so. I'm not an expert on it myself, but I believe I had a differing position than the rest of the band did. And
oh, they should have murdered you.
So they say.
Who said it? That would be helpful. Who's been saying that?
The powers that be in the music industry.
Ah, yes.
I'm sort of their number one enemy. Anyways,
that's why John was there with you, because you both had a meeting with your manager after. But for lunch, because you were getting bored, you decided with your two friends, who I assume you know from this band that you occasionally do, you decided to make the trek up Everest for the first time. Usually you'll just trick people and tell them that you've climbed it thousands of times and then offer them wine and cheese. But this time you were going to do it for real. However, you had not left base camp when Ringo died. You had turned around one way. John also didn't see what happened. But you go up to Ringo, you check his pulse. It turns out he wasn't dead yet. The pulse, rhythmic. Then a fill, and then nothing.
Yeah.
However, you assume this might be poison-related, as base camp at Everest is the hub of the poison trade, because it is a good place to buy and sell poison.
Yes.
So what do you do when Ringo's dead?
Well, first things first, call the morgue.
Hey, get a drawer ready.
Get a drawer ready. We got a DB here, a dead body. And that's what when I call the morgue, I try to show that I can, like,
hang,
yeah, and know the lingo of the industry.
Right. You wanna
How often are you calling the morgue?
I call the morgue whenever I'll, like, find a corpse or whatever, you know, a couple times a year. And then
I guess on Everest that makes sense. If you're hanging out at Everest Base Camp, it's a dangerous thing to do.
There are a lot of dead bodies on Everest. I mean, at first, when I saw Ringo's body, I just thought it was like some other guy who had died there, because there's people just dying there, like, not like day and night, all day and all night. They call it the mountain that never sleeps, in terms of people dying on it.
You called the morgue. You said, get ready. Oh, we're getting a call here. Do you mind if I merge this in?
Yeah, let's merge the call in.
Hello?
Oh, hello there.
I'm kidding. Oh-ho. I'm kidding. I talk like this.
Oh, okay.
Nice one.
Hey.
Hi.
Who am I speaking to?
I'm George. I'm the quiet one.
Okay, great. Well, just lean into your mic a bit or turn up the levels and shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, there it is. Okay, they're appearing.
Levels are good. Maybe we can get George Martin on the call to fix our levels.
Oh, the writer of Game of Thrones.
Yes. And the producer, and the Beatles producer.
The what?
The Beatles, the fifth Beatle. Anyways, I don't want to get into that.
Sir, you said you knew Paul?
Hey, good to see you, Paul. Yeah, we're in a band together.
Oh, you're George.
Yeah.
George, buddy. How's it going?
It's going okay. How are you?
It's going okay, all things considering. considered.
Yeah, I've just been considering, and I've considered that Ringo's now dead and gone. So I guess with that in mind.
There's not many left. There's not many of us left.
I guess there's just the three of us.
There's only three left.
Well, John's busy.
John has been busy.
And honestly, you're pretty busy too.
I've been pretty busy.
It's not like
but there
it
is
used
okay,
to
be. But there's three of you still in the world.
Well, we're still in the band, yeah. They're negotiating the rights to all our music. Did Paul tell you about that?
Yeah, were you going to be at the meeting too? Paul was telling me it was just him and John invited to this meeting.
Oh.
Oh, don't tell. Not tell him about the meeting.
Oh, I heard about
okay,
the
well, then I won't.
Thank
I heard
you,
all
thank
about
you.
The meeting. I was just too shy to go.
George is not really a business on the business end of things here at here at the band.
No.
Okay, then why were you at base camp then?
I go there. There's a really good casino.
You were there? Camp. You were there.
I was at the I go to the casino at the base camp, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I saw you going to the casino there.
Yeah, that would have been me.
Yeah, okay. So that was you.
What instrument do you play in the band?
I'm a guitarist.
You like the guitar?
Yeah. Even when it's
what's something
crying. Beeping? Crying. Yeah, okay, even when my guitar's dripping wet, I still play it.
Drop it in a puddle.
Even if I drop my guitar in a puddle, I'll still play it.
That's our George.
It happens a lot in England, where we mostly where we play. It
wet and rainy. Yeah.
It's yeah.
The rainy season.
Yeah. You mean every season?
Yeah. That's what we say over there.
That's what one of the things we say over there, yeah.
And we use the pound as currency.
You used to pound? The two of you?
As currency, yeah.
Yes. Currency was us pounding.
Let me tell you, the exchange rate is not kind.
Yeah, it's... Let's just say it's no... It's no USD.
What games do you like at the casino?
I'm a slots guy. I like to leave it in God's hands.
Oh, you're a gambling man.
He'll do the rest. I was born a gambling man, yeah.
Right on. Right
on. So we're talking about the death of Ringo, who was found dead on the mountain. I don't know how much you know about this, George.
Yeah, yeah. I know I saw him. We went and got lunch.
Oh, wait. When he cut for lunch?
Yeah, he got cut for lunch, and then which was when also I got cut off at the casino.
They must.
Kind of worked out perfectly.
There must be two lunches. Then. Right.
Unless you met with him very quickly and then immediately he went off on his excursion.
Maybe this was just subs. Mm. But he definitely had a break.
I know in French sometimes lunch or breakfast is referred to as a small lunch.
Oh, petit déjeuner.
Yeah. So maybe... Was he speaking French to you? Maybe you went with him for breakfast.
That was it. It was breakfast and he was speaking French.
Oh, okay. Murder solved.
That's
when you met with him at breakfast then.
Yes, I'd gambled the whole night away. And then...
Yeah, and then they cut you off.
They cut me off and then I noticed he...
They cut you off from the slot machines. They said, hey, you can't put any more coins in here, man.
Yeah, it was going to overflow.
Yeah.
And then I was going to start winning without doing anything, which they don't like.
Yeah, the machines are all swollen and round.
Yeah, and the coins are kind of leaking out of the slot where you put in the coins. So they don't like that.
Right, okay.
And yeah, but here's the thing. He had a break because they shot all his scenes already.
Oh, for the morning?
Yeah, so he was done for the morning. It was a night shoot. It was a scene where he had to sneak into his mistress's caravan.
Do you know what they're shooting?
It could be very tricky. The scene or the act of sneaking?
Night shoots.
Yeah, but just for the lighting.
Yeah. Harder to see.
Especially to get all your equipment up there. It's like, would not want to be that guy hauling up that equipment.
That one guy hauling all the film equipment up Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Would you want a director?
Got one of those Grinch style sleighs.
Not want to be a director. Not for me.
No, you're more of a musician.
Yeah, I would do the music for the movie. What's that called?
I can see you acting in a handful of movies, maybe back in the day.
I mean, we have done a few movies just based on our band.
That's true. Ringo's the only one who was ever cast in like something high budget like this, like the Great Everest Escape.
This was a movie that was going to be about people escaping Everest.
It's a working title, so I don't know what it's actually about. But he told me a little bit about it. He was telling me about his night shoot and his scene, and he was pretty excited because it's Keira Knightley in the movie.
Oh, a nightly shoot.
Yeah, so I guess it was kind of a night shoot and a nightly shoot because she was in the scene and they also
shot. And because they shot it every night.
And because they shot at night as well, yes. And he's a fan.
I'm so glad your energies are so similar.
Yeah, it makes four.
We're both from Liverpool.
Yeah, in Liverpool, you know, we kind of got like a laid-back sort of deadpan vibe to us out there. And, but we're good mates. We get along good. Well. Continue.
How did John react? Because if it wasn't you who did this to Ringo, John was the only other person with the two of you at the time. What did he do when you found Ringo dead? Yeah.
John has bad eyesight, so he couldn't even... He didn't have his
Why
glasses.
Didn't he have his glasses?
He should have his little glasses on.
Because he didn't have his glasses on because he thinks they make him look kind of silly.
Oh.
I always try to tell him. I'd be like, dude, no. Come on, man. You need them. They're your glasses. They don't make you look silly. They look cool. I think they look friggin'. I wish I had glasses like him. His.
It's true. You're always saying that.
Yeah, your glasses are silly.
Right.
And I don't wear glasses at all.
So he didn't see anything. Yeah. So I had to be like, no touch. Like, touch right here. That's Ringo. He's dead.
Oh, he really needs those glasses, eh?
Yeah.
He was gonna have an awful time walking up
Mount Everest. He can't see anything.
Yeah, he was gonna... Well, because... It doesn't really matter, like, when you're climbing up Mount Everest. You just go up. Like, you don't need glasses for that.
That's
and I guess
true.
You're all attached, like, to a rope to each other.
Yes. As a team, we have a rope attached to us. And it got very heavy at one point. And we thought, what's dragging down the rope? And it was Ringo. It passed away at the end.
And you said, Ringo, well, you're the fun one. You're not the quiet one.
Yeah.
I'm the quiet one.
Exactly.
So it sounds like everything Ringo, was normal with him at breakfast.
Well, he no, was just excited he'd for his forgotten movie. His glasses as well.
Oh, Ringo also. Oh, yeah, he does. He has glasses sometimes.
He wasn't wearing them though, and so he went to go order his lunch, but he couldn't find like which truck to go to.
Oh no, he He didn't have his glasses and he was going to the two trucks. Oh, no.
Well, he just
oh,
headed towards gosh. All the trucks. Well, what? So I figured he got something. He came back with a Mountain Dew and, well, I guess it was just a Mountain Dew for breakfast, which is a little odd, but he loves the stuff. Go straight to the source, he says.
Yeah, I found it weird that, like, that Mountain Dew flavor that he got had a skull and crossbones on the label.
Maybe they want, like, a more extreme marketing kind of angle?
Yeah.
Right. I thought they were going for, like, a Baja Blast kind of angle with that.
Well, you don't think it wasn't Mountain Dew, do you?
I mean, only time will tell.
Yeah, I guess if he winds up dead, then wait a second.
Now, what about all your friends at the morgue?
I can
Are you in with them? You could ask them.
I could ask them if they've done an autopsy or something on him and see if we can get those results. I can text them. You want me to text them? Or call them?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do either.
Okay.
I feel like he died from poison, it sounds like.
It appears that way. I mean, and when we put all the pieces together here, it really does seem like that's kind of, it wasn't even.
But that would have been at breakfast, and you met up with him at lunch, when I guess they're just filming 24/7. They cut for lunch again on that day. He gets sent to you. Maybe it's a slow-acting poison. Well, I've talked myself back into it.
Yeah, a lot of poisons are slow-acting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if it was mercury and it just built up in his system over time.
Exactly.
You're not going to call the morgue guy?
It was morgue.
You are?
Are you calling your friend at the morgue? Or?
Yeah, I'm just on hold with them over here. They're so dang busy this time of year.
Rainy season. A lot of drownings.
Rainy season in the UK.
Oh, hello, governor!
Okay, we're through. We just got through to it. Hi.
Hope you enjoyed that hold music.
Yeah, that was lovely. And honestly, very British. Very British hold music.
Yeah.
Just calling.
This what can I do you for, mate? Got any more DBs for me? You know what that means, eh?
I do have another DB, but that's I'll call you about that tomorrow. But for now,
all right. Well, yeah, best to leave them for a bit before you take them in. Really let them simmer.
Exactly. And so for now, I'm just calling to see if you guys have done an autopsy yet on Ringo.
That's so funny you say that. Phone's tucked between me chin and me shoulder right now. Hands deep and down his gullet. And you know what I just
found?
Wait,
like into his mouth?
Yeah. I'm doing an autopsy.
Both hands?
Yes.
Plunged into his mouth?
Who the hell are you?
Oh, I'm a griffin.
You're questioning the way I do my autopsies? I haven't heard you say a single thing that morgue people know about. How am I supposed to trust you?
We're on a three-way call here. Sorry about that. Should have.
You should have told me that. I was about to give all the secrets away.
It's a podcast. He's cool. It's kind of like talking into a little handheld tape recorder.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'll do that all the time. Okay. You do know the morgue. All right. Well, I suppose I can tell you then. Cool. This man was poisoned, we just found. I drained it out of his gullet.
And do you know what type of poison it is?
Yeah. It's green liquid mixed with mercury, and it was simmery. It was one of those ones that kind of simmers for a little bit and stews around in your body.
Oh, for a couple hours until lunch?
Well, yeah, it's normally about like 3 to 4 hour acting poison. And then it simmers and stews and bubbles, and then eventually makes your heart go really fast, but consistent. And then it kind of peters out.
Like a drum fell.
No, not really, but yeah, I guess so. That's not how we say it in the morgue.
Oh, sorry, like a DF.
Yeah.
Morgue's just like acronyms?
There's no time to say full words. Could be saying everything short, punchy, into our little recorders.
Are you always trying to save the people? And it's just the most disappointing profession in the world.
I always think I can save them. I always start by doing CPR. When one comes in, I go, oh, God, what the hell's happened here? Oh, no. Oh, no. And I zip down the bag and I start pumping the chest. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please. Please, come on. Come on. Turn away from the light. And then I bang down on the metal bed that he's laid on. And I was like, damn it, we've lost him. Another one. And I get to work shoving my hands down his gullet.
Well, it sounds like this was accidental. This wasn't murder at all. He just walked to the wrong truck without his glasses.
Oh, is that what happened? He walked to the wrong truck?
Did you find any Mountain Dew in his system? MD?
Not a drop. Not a drop of MD. Shame, really. You'd hate to think of anyone going out without a little bit of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
You got another body for me? You want to ring me about that tomorrow?
Yeah, let me get back to you on that. We'll circle back on that other body.
Okay, and, circle back on that, yeah.
Yeah, let's give it the weekend and circle back.
Yeah, okay. I'll put
something in your calendar.
Next episode.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But,
yeah, put something down in your calendar. I should be reaching out to you soon.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Killed to Death. Not murder at all, which is nice, but just a tragic confusion.
A tragedy strikes again.
I guess that's what this was, a tragedy strikes again.
Well, that's another win for tragedy. I want to thank Zach Aaron for our theme song, Mary Jane Schumer for our art. If you have a suggestion for a murder, killedtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. And if you just want to have a gas online, killedtodeathpodcast on Instagram or K2Dpod on X. Steve, you still here?
Yeah. Speaking of night shoots, Hard Day's Night Shoots. Huh?
Oh, right on.
Pretty good.
Right
on. Griffin and Steve Guess the Movie is a podcast on Apple Podcasts, and it's on Sonar Plus, and it's where Griffin and I have a little movie guessing game for each other. So if you like to play guessing games, and if you like movies especially, you'll enjoy this. And you can play along at home by listening to the show. So go subscribe there and check
it out. The day this episode comes out, I think we got another recording session in the night.
So be on the lookout.
More episodes are coming.
They drop every 2 weeks, and there's plenty in the backlog. So if you just want to go back through and listen to all the ones you haven't heard yet, you can discuss with your friends and see who guessed the movie first.
And you can lie.
That's true. Say you got it in one.
Yeah, that's impressive.
We'll just think you're good at it.
We're going to turn now to Paul. Paul, what do you want people to check out?
Check out me on Instagram. At Harry Weinreb, and that's my Twitter. Check me out on Instagram at harry.jw. Sort of kind of wish I got the same handle for all these different things.
Well, can you change one of them to match the other, or is the like both of them are taken in the?
I think I have them. But I don't.
Well, then it should be very easy.
But I think I've like kind of.
But if you wait, don't switch them both, because then they're not going to sync up again.
Right, I switched them both to the other. Yeah, I think I do have them, but I've sort of forgotten the passwords over time, and I've made them at different stages of my life. So this is just what it is.
So check out one or the other.
Check out one or the other. I feel like the best thing really to do is to just Google my name. That's really the best thing.
Are you the first result?
Yeah. I am the
first
and last, I think, result.
One of one. Showing one of one.
Yeah, there's one result. So go ahead.
It's true.
Google, Bing.
You get all your stuff. Look at that. IMDb, LinkedIn.
Whoa. Check out IMDb. What's your star meter like?
Oh, let's see. Oh, wait. Do you need IMDb Pro for that?
You probably need IMDb Pro to get my info off of there.
You're known for This Hour's 22 Minutes, World's Smallest Miracle on Crescent Street, and Le Gong Show.
Wow.
Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, is that what we know you from?
That is, well, is that what you guys know me from? You tell me.
I know you from Le Gong Show.
That's where I know myself from as well.
That's where you found yourself?
That's where I found myself. So that seems to be my, where I was kind of reborn or born to begin with.
And well, halfway down the page, thesonarnetwork.com. Guest appearances on Killed to Death. Well. This is Rat's Nest, the Landlord and Tenant Podmas. Good stuff on here.
Steve, as someone with a common name, if you Google Steve Cook, what page do you think you show up on?
There's a baseball guy. Look at this. There's a Canadian biologist.
Oh, Canadian's tough.
Yeah.
You can't even do Steve Cook Canada.
Oh, well, I'm not really trying to find myself, but... Oh, yeah.
You've already been on Le Gong Show.
Oh, I'm actually on page one.
Whoa!
Look at that. Sonar Network popping up, if you can believe it. And then, man, there is this other Steve Cook on IMDb, bane of my existence. Here, let me share my screen. You got to see this guy's hair.
Man, look here.
Oh, yes, this guy. I've come across this guy when looking for you.
Yeah. He's looks like a 80s rocker.
He's in Real Rob, I think. Oh, yes, he is. There he goes. He's known for it.
He's actually also known for King Kong from 2005.
And Hercules. Maybe that's like a strong guy.
Big year, 2005.
British guy. For him.
Dunno.
Oh, he's known from Real Rob, and he's in one episode of Real Rob.
I was confused by that. He plays Dusty Lane. Cool, man.
Anyways, we're still technically in the episode, and I just want to say to everyone, keep your stick on the ice. We're going to do this kind of shit as soon as the episode stops. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitsky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Mary Jane Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mongiardi, Kitty Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.